Hi, I'm Rachel Sun. I'm one of the people who make the 7B podcast. You may recognize my name from the various stories I've written for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Every day, the team at the Daily Bee works reporting on stories in your community. Each story is the result of hours spent interviewing, writing, and rewriting to keep our readers and our listeners informed. If you'd like to help us continue to provide quality local journalism, the best thing you can do is become a subscriber of the Daily Bee. If you've already done that, thank you. If you haven't yet subscribed, you can do so by calling us at 208-263-9534. Now, on to our podcast. In today's podcast, you're going to be hearing my interview with Ann Ross, a local volunteer at the Bonner Community Hospice. I first talked to Ann for an article I wrote in early November about the hospice, which is the only nonprofit hospice in the area. I interviewed several people for the article, but Ann's story stood out to me. When people hear the word hospice, it often comes with negative associations. People tend to think about death and loss and grief. But Ann's story did a lot to challenge that narrative, telling me about her experiences caring for hospice patients, how hospice affected her family, and finding unexpected joy in end-of-life care. As I was writing my story, I kept struggling to fit in everything she had told me. I was able to include a lot of Ann's story, but there's some parts I think Ann was able to tell best herself. So I called her up again and asked if she would be able to talk to me one more time for the rest of you. So, here's Ann with her story about the hospice.
To start off with, I was wondering if you could tell me about how you got involved with the hospice.
So, I brought my mother-in-law to the hospice, Bonner Community Hospice, when it was at the Brown House next to the hospital. She had suffered a loss in California, and I thought she was experiencing some kind of grief, and maybe they had like a grief group, support group, something she could get involved with that might help. And when we got there, they were so kind, so compassionate with her. She actually had all of the symptoms of grief that were on a list that they handed to us. So they got her with a one-on-one bereavement volunteer, and I wanted to be a part of this. It was just amazing. She had suffered the loss not in our community, and it didn't seem to matter. They just took her in and cared for her.
That's really incredible the way that they were able to help your mother-in-law.
Yes.
And do you mind my asking when this was?
This was over 10 years ago.
Okay.
Because I've been with hospice now for, it'll be 11 years this April, I think.
So after you took her to hospice and she got help from them, like how soon did you decide that you wanted to get involved with it?
Immediately.
Okay.
Immediately, yeah. I just couldn't believe how compassionate they were. And I wanted to know how. I had suffered some loss in my life, a husband and a fiance, and I had never received any kind of grief support. So to see this in action, I definitely wanted to be a part of it immediately.
Yeah, and could you kind of tell me a bit about how getting this kind of support can impact people who are dealing with grief, and also, you know, from your experience, as someone who is now working with the hospice, like what the hospice is able to provide?
Well, from the beginning, a family, a person who is diagnosed with 6 months or less to live, gets admitted to hospice. We have nurses and social workers that go and do like an intake. And what we do, what hospice does, is we support the caregivers. The client, the family unit, they're all, the family unit is our client. We want the caregivers to succeed. We want the person who is admitted to hospice to have every day be good quality, live every day to the fullest that they're able to, and fulfill some goals that they might still have, mending relationships or, seeing milestones in their family's lives, graduations, weddings, trying to help them achieve those things through managing their pain and, some of the other symptoms that go along with their diagnosis.
Right. And we talked about it a little bit before, but could you tell me again some of the misconceptions people sometimes have about hospice versus what it's able to provide?
Sure. Hospice, I think most people think hospice is a last resort. That you've got days, maybe weeks to live. And some people even think hospice is some kind of euthanasia. And it is definitely not. What our main goal is palliative care, comfort care. We don't want anyone to suffer in their last days. One of my dearest friends got onto hospice. She was afraid. She didn't want people to think she was giving up. And she lived on hospice for 7 months. And she lived. I mean, we went shopping. She went to her granddaughter's graduation. I mean, it was really special the way she lived her last month. And I've had clients that have improved and gotten off hospice. Once we get their symptoms managed, people feel better.
That's really interesting that, first it's seen as like sometimes giving up when it is in fact living life to the fullest, kind of as you put it.
Yeah, it's taking control of your life.
So I was hoping you could tell me again about some of the stuff that you do at hospice. You kind of told me about some of your interactions last time. I was hoping we could go over that again.
Sure. My first client was in a assisted living facility. And I wasn't really sure why I was there because obviously they have a staff. And we would just sit quietly and watch golf on TV. And when I spoke with his daughter, who requested a hospice volunteer, she was just so grateful knowing that someone was visiting her dad regularly. And one time when I left, he said, "I enjoyed you today." And we had hardly spoken, but just having a person, a presence there, someone, just another human being, that connection.
Yeah.
And what I was giving was peace of mind to his daughter. I with my volunteer commitment, I like to sit with someone. I like to give the family a little bit of a break. They can go shopping or run errands, visit with other family and friends for support. But there's lots of opportunities with hospice. Some people like to give back by helping in the office. And hospice has a grief camp for children. I think it's around Father's Day, for kids that have suffered a loss. And, you know, that's something I don't think I would be capable of, you know. But there are wonderful people that volunteer for that specific job. So, yeah, lots of opportunities.
Yeah. And you had talked a bit about your aunt as well, and I was hoping you could describe a little bit more about that and, you know, her experience with it.
Sure.
Yeah.
She was at her home in Chicago. She was not with our hospice, but she had some of the same benefits as ours. My mom and my aunts all had a happy hour at 5 o'clock, a cocktail party, where they had a drink and some fancy hors d'oeuvres, and they had an early Thanksgiving. She passed away 2 weeks ago now, so they had an early Thanksgiving, turkey dinner, everything. My sister arranged a Zoom cocktail party where all of her nieces and nephews got to see her, and she got to ask us all questions. And she and her sisters usually would go up to northern Wisconsin in the fall to see the colors. And this year, the sisters came to her house, and they had a fish fry and a prime rib dinner, and played games and laughed. And that was the weekend before she passed away. So, again, living life to the fullest, you know, enjoying every minute. Making memories and those relationships that are so special. And they weren't happy about this in the beginning. You know, my mom didn't think she could do it, be a caregiver. My aunt didn't want to die, didn't want to be on hospice, did not want anyone coming to her house. But slowly they opened up to it all, so... And they benefited immensely.
That is really incredible.
Yeah.
And then one other thing that I wanted to hit on is last time I had asked you if doing this work and seeing the impact to the people that you help had also changed the way that you view death. And I was hoping you could tell me about that again and kind of your experience with that.
Okay. I told you that my first husband passed away, and he died in a hospital. And I had a dear friend with me. And after he died, she said, "I've never been at a death, but it is just as beautiful as birth." And I thought she was crazy. You know, it was just sad and tragic, and, you know, it was, I didn't see it. But now that I've been working with hospice, I see it clearly. It's all about the love, you know, in a room where this family is just loving this person as they leave their lives. You know, not to say that, I don't know, it should be as special as birth. You know, we commemorate all these special occasions in our lives, birth, first day of school, graduation, marriage, anniversaries, but nobody talks about a good death. And maybe that sounds morbid, but to be in a room with that much love, it's priceless. And that these families let us in and participate in this and witness this, it's just magical.
I can't imagine how unique and, I guess, in a weird way, privileged that position is.
Privilege, that's a great word for it. And they're not all, you know, happy, celebratory. You know, there are awful, tragic deaths. But to have the kind of support that Monarch Community Hospice offers. I took a grief acceptance class with my daughter a few years ago, and it was 18 years after her father had passed away, my first husband. And this free class that Bonner Community Hospice put on had a profound effect on our relationship and the way we viewed his death. And we were able to talk about it more openly and easily, where before it was just something we didn't talk about because we didn't want to make anyone sad. And, it was really what they've offered me and my family is invaluable.
Yeah. That's another interesting thing that you brought up with talking about death and, you know, people seeing death as kind of just this sad thing. Uh-huh. How do you, would you say that, like, the way that you talk about death now is different from maybe 10 or 20 years ago?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Way more open about it. Everyone's going to die. So why not talk about it? What I want for my family after I'm gone. What I don't want. To have those conversations. And there's some people in my family, like my mother does not want to talk about it. She has not. On the other hand, my dad has already made his, video memorial, and it's he loves it. It's more like a family photo album than a than something that's shown at a funeral. But he and I made it together, and he loves it.
That's really cool that you were able to do that.
Yeah. And he's still working on it.
All right. Was there still things that you would like to add? I know I asked this last time as well, but for the podcast that you would like to have people hear.
I think just that if I'm ever or when I'm in this situation, I hope that I get to experience a long time with hospice. And there isn't one person with Bonner Community Hospice that I would not be thrilled to see at my door. They are all, there's just no words. They're just angels. I hope I get to experience a long time with hospice.
Thanks for listening, and special thanks to Ann Ross and the rest of the hospice staff who took the time to talk to me. If you would like to read the November 15th article Anne was interviewed for, you can find it on BonnerCountyDailyBee.com under the Local tab. We hope you enjoyed and that you'll tune in again next week for another 7B podcast.